Previously on the Atypical Sports Show.
You know what it is? Me and you, we're not combative with right. those freaking blacks. Dude, I mean, like those two guys
I'm
that do the show.
I'm trying to be cool about them, dude. But honestly, if I had to be really honest and share what I really think, it's like, they're always angry, bro.
Always, too.
And it's like, if you tell them something about something, they always got a high five and talk about. And it's not like I'm like, I don't think it's black talk. I just think it's kind of stupid
ignorant,
talk.
Ignorant, dude.
Dude, it's like, no, I don't want to say, yeah, maybe ignorant,
dude,
bro.
Dude, because I'll let you in on a little secret, what? Atypical world.
Do you like black girls?
No,
oh,
dude.
Oh, I do, dude.
No, dude.
I totally like black chicks, too.
Dude.
Black chicks rock. But I think that black guy is
the only
funny.
One is
he likes white chicks. That's why I think it's pretty funny.
Aisha Tyler.
Oh, that's true, dude. She doesn't like black dudes, though.
But listen, though.
She likes white boys.
I was like, had a... Did? Here's my secret. Okay. Freaking A, man. I'm Clever Trevor. Come on.
Sorry, bro.
Sports Radio.
Atypical.
Atypical.
Hey, doctor. Go take that dog for a walk.
Welcome to the Atypical Sports Show with your host, Robin Key. The Atypical Sports Show brought to you today by www.exposeyourbizonline. Make sure you contact Exposure Biz Online to get your business exposed. What up, Key? This, man, did the sun fall asleep today? I think the sun fell asleep in the air because it refused to wake up and go somewhere else.
I'll tell you one thing, man. I am so impressed by the energy you just perform right now. Like, I got to let the people know that's not where we at right now. It's hot as hell, dog.
Dude.
It's 112 degrees, and I'm getting older, or it's really getting hotter. Because I remember I used to think, for real, dude, like, man, this ain't that bad. It's a dry heat. What I think is going on is that humidity is creeping in because there's more people like your greedy ass who want swimming pools in your backyard causing the humidity in the world. But all I know,
care.
Man, the energy you had to bring us in, dude, man, keep it going, dog. Because I'm mentally exhausted.
I'm feeling good because I haven't been in the heat. I've just gone from the car to Starbucks to the running errands or whatever. But I have not been in the heat.
Don't act like we ain't. The damn Mill Avenue Studios ain't hot right now.
Dude, it's 85 in here. But you know what? Like Larry David said, like that's just said, like that brother Jay Smooth said.
Yes.
Oh, f*** that, Larry. Yeah. I need to learn 82.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like 69 degrees. Shit, goddamn, Larry, sleep outside. He's like, we might as well sleep outside. Shit, f*** that, Larry. And he said, can we compromise on 81? F*** that, Larry.
That reminds me of Menace of Society, too, when your boy said, man, we a tropical people.
Yeah, we a tropical. People. Man, I'm telling you, dude, it is very hot. I mean, the intensity of the heat is something I haven't remembered since, you know, when it was like sophomore, junior year in Tucson, you know, so
dude,
it's crazy, dude.
You know what I feel like, man? I feel like I am Broke Dick Willie and that Jamaican dude.
Right.
And the other dude that was on True Colors.
Yes, yes.
Those three was on that stoop
right.
on Do the Right Thing. Sitting there just watching people go by. So that's kind of the mentality I want to just go ahead and capture today. We just two brothers sitting on the corner watching the sports world walk by on this hot, lazy summer afternoon. So as we sit on this stoop, and there's Superman catching a cab, as was famously said on that Do the Right Thing stoop. But as we sit here...
Oh, goddamn, better not see your butt naked on payday.
Yeah, as we sit here on this stoop, man, let's go through some of the things that we... haven't talked about since I seen you last. So last time we talked was last Monday. Or Tuesday. So what happened on Wednesday in sports? Well, I'm waiting.
The NBA draft.
That was actually Friday, Robert.
Was it?
I mean Thursday. Dang, look at me, man. I almost got heat exhaustion. You know, my boy Brandon called me and said, man,
he got drafted?
No, he said he had a mild heat stroke.
What the hell's a mild heat stroke?
I don't know, but that's something you don't play. You didn't know how to mess with him or joke with him. Like, you had to take it serious. Like,
was he talking?
You all right,
was
man?
Was he talking in his normal voice?
No, he was texting me, so I don't know.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Was his words coming out all slow?
Well, he said he had a mild heat stroke the day before.
And what happened? Like, did he say what happened? He fell out?
He said he was dry heaving.
Really?
Because I was like, yo, dude, this is my last weekend in Iowa, Tukey. And as y'all know, man, I'm moving up to Chandler. I'm moving by my boy Rob, who might be moving closer or farther. Oh, no. But anyways, I'm moving from Iowa, Tukey. Man, I've been in Iowa, Tukey 9 years,
you
dude.
Have.
9 years, man. So I told one of my closest homeboys that live in Ahwatukee with me, yo, let's go get a drink on Saturday. And he said, I don't know, man, I'm moving too. I was like, wait a second, time out. Brandon's moving across the street with another roommate or something. I don't know. I didn't get into it. So that's like three people literally moving that I know.
Right.
In the hottest summer, yeah. On the hottest month, yeah. In the hottest state,
yeah.
In the hottest shit in the world.
Hell yeah.
So I was like, yo, man, you moving? Yeah, man. I can't go out now after this, man. I said, why? Man, I had a mild heat stroke. You know what's so funny about this conversation? I am actually injecting tone into his text.
That's what, that, you know, I actually had to check myself. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Did this just switch to a phone conversation? Mm-hmm. Because I felt like you was really telling me what was going on.
Yeah. So he had his email, I mean, his text came back and said he was dry heaving. And I didn't want to question it.
And you didn't say nothing else?
Yeah. Speaking of strokes, man.
Was dry heaving at the time he was texting you?
No, he said the day before.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of strokes, man, dude, my boy, producer Mike is helping me with the move tremendously, man. He's been helping with the painting and stuff like that. And I feel guilty right now because I got some confessions. A couple weeks ago, these is my confessions. Don't call your lawyer because I ain't worth a dime. But guess what, man? My boy, producer Mike, fell off a ladder painting, hit his head against a granite counter, and he said he saw the Tweety birds and the stars.
Was now, it the Twitter bird you said?
The Tweeter bird, oh. Yeah. And my wife
fell off.
That's what he said. Yeah, he fell off, man. He had a concussion, dude. That's what's so weird about this thing, man. He had a concussion, and he said he couldn't feel his left arm was numb for like 2 days. So I mean, my wife was distraught over this. Like, I feel so bad helping us at the crib, and I was like, damn, is he gonna sue us? But my wife was like, literally, like, man, I feel so bad. You know, I mean, he damn near had a stroke. Had a baby concussion.
Right.
I'm concerned, bro.
Man, dude, you don't even realize. I was outside of the Milton studio.
You had a concussion?
To have a conversation with producer Mike.
Yeah.
And he barely hobbled outside. And I'm like, dude, what's wrong? In his voice. Every part of my body hurts right now. I can't even move. I'm like, for real? He's like, yeah, dude, I've never done this much work. You know, my body didn't work out. And so, man, he was looking real bad. He's like, and the only thing he's paying me is his blonde beard.
I'm like, God damn, he paying you a beard? And I don't even drink.
And he's drinking. And I was like, man, I felt bad for him, dude. It was kind of crazy, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, he did look kind of rough, dude. I mean, you don't realize painting is hard, dude.
Dude, it's like Danielson.
Yeah, you know? Wasn't his arm all messed up after a missing mile? You made him do the whole fence, front and back.
Speaking of, you know what? It's birthday time real quick, man. I had to bring this in, dude. Happy birthday, posthumously, to Pat Morita. Happy birthday to Arnold. To Pat Morita.
Dead?
No, today's his birthday.
Oh, okay.
But he is. Is he dead?
It's 3 weeks.
Oh, man, we get into that. But back in the Pat Morita, man, props out to our Asian American listeners. Shirley Wong, I don't know if you got love for Pat Morita. I know you Chinese and he Japanese, but...
I know, but Seoul, South Korea, we're big on there, so they're probably all with the people. We're big in Seoul, South Korea.
See, that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, Asian Americans don't... They will never call themselves Asian Americans.
No,
you'll be like, I'm Japanese or Chinese.
Exactly.
So why should we be African Americans?
Exactly.
Well, you know, we was beefing against, you know, the people that lived in Nigeria. Nigeria's
right.
A country now,
right.
But where we from, you
right.
Know, the old tribes was beefing.
Right.
They ain't gonna stand up all in one.
Exactly.
Japanese and Chinese people ain't friends.
Right, right. That's real.
Historically.
Though. So what?
You know what better describe me?
So what was going
black?
What was going on with that Twitter stuff that was going on about black and African American? I didn't really catch that. Was that similar? Was that what y'all were
That's
talking
exactly
about?
What we were talking about. Me and a homeboy at Dragonfly Jones basically had the same stance where we were like, you know what? I identify more with, I'm more comfortable with someone saying black American than I am with African American because we don't know anybody in Africa and
right.
We can't trace our roots to Africa
right.
Specifically. To trace your roots to a whole continent, I might as well just be called Eastern Hemispherian American. Like it's, I need to narrow it down where I think it's more special when you can narrow it down like Italian Americans, Greek Americans, where you have that culture that goes beyond it. I think black America, the experience of black Americans is what connects us. I think that describes us more. When you know of a black American, obviously you know what I'm talking about, right? When I think of an African American, a true African American, that's like Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo.
I can get that.
But then maybe they might be Nigerian Americans. Like, they breaking it down like, no, I'm Nigerian.
Well, who named us African American?
I don't know, but it's a politically correct thing to do now.
No, but who, I mean, like, my question is, why do I have to succumb to anything that I don't know who named? I mean, when was the last time you walked on the street and somebody just changed your name on you and all of a sudden you call them? You know, that, like, who leaked that wiki leak that all of a sudden we're African American? So that's the reason I'm saying that is because I have no problem with somebody saying they don't want to be associated with that because, A, they don't know who the hell named them that, and why do they have to relate to that? Maybe somebody to me, I'm personally on the other side of I'd rather be African American because I know that's where I'm originally from. You trace me back, and I'm from Africa. I know that. Not continent. I don't know which country I'm from.
I can tell you.
Okay, you can. Yeah. Kenya?
Well, you can't run very fast.
No, but I run long distances.
I had the body to run. Well, I guess if a Kenyan was on, I guess if a Kenyan was on Newport, maybe he would, you know, he might be able to run.
Whatever he is, whatever it is, I'm leaning towards Kenyan. And you would definitely be Watusi. So I don't think you'd have a hard time.
I don't even know what that is. See, that's the point I'm trying to make.
It's the tallest tribe they have out there.
I'm only 6'2".
I know, but nigga, you had Watusi in your blood, dog. I mean, come on, man. It ain't like you pygmy. I'd have to lean toward the Watusi.
Pygmy's from South America. Huh? Oh, my goodness.
Pygmies are from Africa. Man, see, that's maybe you're right. You should be black American. I agree with you now.
Yeah.
No,
pygmies are from Brazil, like South America, like for real.
Okay, there's pygmy African tribe. Okay, but we'll talk about it later, and we'll get pod checked, and somebody will bring that up, okay?
Yeah, you know what's so funny is your confidence right now.
Oh, I love my confidence
The
about
pygmies
it.
Are like, remember that movie Apocalypto?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. You're going to be wrong.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, so anyway, but I ain't gonna be mad at what somebody wants to name this. I would just associate myself as African American. I feel more comfortable with that. I wouldn't be pissed off somebody calling me a black American, but I ain't never heard nobody say black American. So if somebody did call me black American, I'd have to be like, why you call me a black American?
My bad. I meant black. Okay. I meant just black. Like, I'm black.
Said,
here's a question. When Serena and Venus is in England, what are they calling them? What are the English people calling them? And I don't know. I'm just kind of.
You want me to say it with? I would say they're probably saying, "Oh, they're probably niggas." No, they're probably calling them African American. I would think.
No, but they know real Africans.
No. But I would think they're doing the politically right. This has nothing to do with knowing. They're doing the political correct thing.
That's very interesting. I'm very interested of what.
I wish we knew somebody from Britain what they would call us. I'm thinking they'd probably say, "Well, you know what?" I don't even know if they use the term African American or they even refer to their color.
They have to though.
Why?
I don't know. Slick Rick is from England, right? Dana Dane.
Sports Center doesn't say two African American tennis players. They don't say that no more. Well, I guess if they're given a statistic, okay. So if they're saying black. No, what would England say? The first. I mean, they might say black. They might say black.
I don't know. That's interesting. That's there's black people from Europe. My boy Stringer Bell's from Europe.
Yeah, he is. Edith Obelot. Did you see the way he was looking at Patti LaBelle?
He was acting his ass off. I was like,
he's trying to win a Grammy?
Man, this is Jill Scott. Man, I hate you. Why you looking at dissing Jill Scott in that restaurant? Oh, this is a play.
Man, the way he was looking when Patti LaBelle was singing, they kept cutting to him, and he was looking so interested and clapping. Yeah. I'm like, he's an
first of all, y'all, we talking about the BET Music Awards, and that is something that I had my eyes glued on this week. God, yeah. It was pretty good. It was entertaining.
Man, it's always entertaining because
it's not the AAET Awards.
Huh?
It's not the AAET
African-American Awards. African-American. You know I'm proud to be black, y'all, and that's a fact, y'all. And if the trash that was mine, I take it back, y'all. It's like that.
Tiny black woman, but she was raped. She was living to be given. There's a lot that she gave. She's not a slave. In this day and
do not sing. DMC, the man that's causing the creep. I got a message for the world, so listen up, it's brief. Like Malcolm X said, I won't turn a right cheek. Got the strength to go to length if you want to start beat. Start beat. You know I'm about to be black, y'all, and real brave, y'all. And motherfucker, I could never be a slave, y'all. So take that.
Sports show.
Are you black asses are just plain dumb.
It's got to be because we are black. Ain't no other explanation. No, I know, man. You know,
man,
ain't they always trying to keep the black man to be about shit?
Hold this shit down. Tired of hearing that old excuse. Tired of hearing that shit.
I swear, man. I will be one happy fool when we open our own business right here in our neighborhood. I swear to God, I will be the first in line to spend what little money I got. Right there with you,
you mother always talking that old Keith Sweat shit. I'm gonna do this. You ain't gonna do a goddamn thing. You ain't gonna sit y'all monkey ass on this corner. Hey, in there, when you gonna get your business? Huh? Yeah, just like I thought, you ain't gonna do a goddamn thing. But I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go over there and get them Koreans some more of my money. Out of my way. God damn, it's Miller time, motherfucker.
Welcome back to the almost an African American typical.
Because I'm trying to be African American, y'all. And that's a fact, y'all. And if you try to say what's fair again, I'll take it back, y'all.
It's like ticky 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 ticky. A typical sports show is back in your earballs. Open them up.
Did you say earball?
Yeah, our earballs and eye holes and eye sockets and mouth guards.
480-664-9378. Hit
Call.
Us up on the A-Tip line. Also hit us up on, of course, Twitter. It's twitter.com/atypicalsports. You already know we on there. And
happy birthday, Wax On, Wax Off Man. I don't think we gave him that prop.
How old was he? 84.
He was born in...
76.
Well, he's dead, though.
I asked you, was he dead?
No, Mr. Miyagi's dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
How old would he have been?
Yeah, I'm not very good at math anymore. No, real quick, though, he would have been 79.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pat Morita died?
I think so, man. I don't know if he died.
I'll tell you, man, he's exhausted. I asked you originally, was he dead? You said, no, he alive. And then now, did you do some research and figured out that Pat Morita real dead? Or are you just having heat stroke? Are you having a mild heat stroke right now?
Oh, what's between mild and medium? Like, you know, salsa, like soft, the mild or medium?
A soft heat stroke.
It's a extra mild, extra mild. Or light medium. Light medium stroke right
so
now.
So you're having a light stroke.
I'm having a light skin stroke. I'm a light skin.
Light skin American. There you go. Your call.
That's the question. Am I light skin? Right there is a question. You consider me light skin?
To compare to me, yeah.
No, I'm not compared to you.
You're the same color as my kids, dog. I swear to
darker
God.
Darker than your kids?
You ain't seen them Africans lately, dude.
Okay.
They're dark.
You know what? Naturally.
Okay, naturally. I would say you know what? You're born, it's like, okay, you'd be
I don't
between
know.
The soft. You'd be between
That's
light
what
and
I was
dark.
Saying.
You'd be medium. You'd be medium soft.
Oh, no.
You're medium, dog. What am I?
You are, it's like, I would want to say a word, but it almost sounds like on a dating profile. Yes, he is a mocha chocolate. Like, I didn't want to go there with it.
Right, that did sound rude.
Yeah, like, man, you a mocha chocolate. Like, you can't explain another brother's color.
Up.
Like, you just said, that's what my brother said, man, you dart. Like, you can't be saying, oh, yeah, man, Key's like a butter pecan caramel
coat.
Like,
describe, hey, man, hey, my boy Key, my boy Key, man, you know, he's a cool brother. Man, he got great personality, man, you know, he's like a soft pecan, like more of like a fresh amaretto in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, that's the way he looks.
Oh, you know what, man, my boy Rob, man, you know what he's like, dude? He's like a brown bottle of Budweiser tinted and coated with the chocolate molasses of the Hershey dark chocolate.
Man, you ain't never met my nigga Key, dog. Man, you ever had some almond milk, the way it pours over somebody's body and when you pour it over your head?
Too far. I can't go there. Happy birthday to Jeff Malone.
It's your birthday, then happy nigga birthday. It's my
dude,
birthday.
Don't sleep on Jeff. Okay. You can sleep on him. But okay, it's his 50th birthday. When it's your like your thing,
okay,
thing,
all right,
I'll bring
right,
you
I'll
up.
Give it to Jeff.
But here's the thing about Jeff Malone. Washington Bullets is
Utah Jazz.
Well, Washington Bullets and Utah Jazz. But what I think of him, I think that he's older than Jordan.
How old is Jordan?
Like 49? No, I mean by a year, but I'm saying they're still like the same class of people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Jordan's game was so epic.
Right. He made him look real old.
He
like
made him look
fast.
Because his game was old. You know?
Like, all of a sudden, he was like, damn, Michael, I got to go left?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jeff Malone's game looked kind of old.
Yeah, real fast.
Happy birthday to you, guy.
Who?
No, Jeff Malone.
Oh, I thought you were bringing up somebody else. You got like,
no,
you just
no,
stopped.
No, dude.
You got real mocha.
No, well, what
right
it was, man.
American.
Okay, here's... You know what I think the paper bag test is now?
Paperbag American.
Yeah, paperbag.
Your color.
That's what it. No, Chris Brown is a test.
Oh, he's that nigga's light skinned.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Right. If you darker than Chris Brown, which I think I am.
Yeah, I think you are. Think
then
so.
You like Chris Brown is light skinned. Did you see this fool on stage every 5 seconds up there?
No.
On the BET Awards.
Oh yeah, dude.
Well, I don't. How did he? Who did he influence? My heat stroke is
back.
Coming through.
Because I've never seen a man beat the shit out of a woman and get all the way back like that. Mm. I mean, wasn't it just a cut?
Yeah.
He beat her down.
Marv Albert.
Dude.
Did you read the details on Marv Albert?
He was a freak. I know. She can't. Her face ain't looking like she went with Johnny Pacquiao.
It wasn't her face that was bit. It was her back. But see, that's why Marv Albert was...
He's smart. That's what he's
smart. Yeah. Bite him in the back.
Beat her in the back.
Yeah.
So, but it's really scary.
All the way beat him on the back.
All the way bite him on the back.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I think the ultimate award of all the way back is Marv Albert.
Yes.
There's no one that was so disgraceful than him. Because, like, when you start talking about freaky sexual things you do and it becomes public, like... putting on wigs, inviting these women in threesomes with men and you, and biting on backs and all kind of freakiness. Like when you open up the door and the public knows about your inside life like that, and it's a freaky inside life, and you get arrested and you admit it to it, but you know what he said about it? It was consensual. That's what Marv Albert said, and he stood up on it.
But see, here's the deal: the reason why that's not as a all the way back as a Michael Vick is because everybody has freak in them. So they all related to that honor. So they're like, oh man, I'm a fucking tripper.
Yeah.
But they know they've done maybe one shade a little bit different than that. So everybody's willing to forgive that dude because they know, hey, damn, he's out there getting it. He might have went a little too far, but I ain't mad at him.
Kind of like Rex Ryan.
Exactly.
And he stood up on it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He didn't make any apologies on it. Like, he stood up on it just like how my boy Roger Ebert stood up on calling that jackass dude a jackass. Don't drive drunk. You hear about the tweet Roger Ebert had? You know the cat from Jackass?
Johnny Knoxville.
Not Johnny Knoxville. It was one of the smaller
Bam Margera.
Good call, but his homeboy.
Okay, the other crew.
I don't know his name. You don't know his name. Yeah, well, no.
The big eyes.
No, not Johnny. No, not Jackie. Not Jacko. You don't even know his name.
Okay.
He's just on the show.
Okay.
He died a week ago, drunk driving. That's what I'm saying. Like, he ain't one of the ones that if he died, he'd be on the cover of People.
Right.
But you know him because he was on Jackass. You see him, you might know him. Long story short, shorter story, very short, is when that happened, Roger Ebert put out a tweet saying that friends do not let jackasses drive drunk.
I like it.
And he stood up on it, too. And he never apologized. And he stood up on it. He was like, no, hey, that's what it is.
Good.
Good for him.
Hell yeah, good. Good for him. I'm tired of fools apologizing, man. I'm standing up on what you say, man. I'm tired of fools apologizing for it.
Well, you know
what?
Just like Roger Ebert's at that age, and
he don't got to apologize.
And his health isn't, you know, like, what are you going
to
say?
He's like, what can they do to me?
You know, and you smell my finger? That's Oprah, brother. I know it's 30 years old, but that's Oprah, brother. He got that Oprah. He got some of that Oprah thing.
He was dating Oprah, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the power he got, man. Whenever you, like, he's a person that can die.
Wait, hold on. Did you just smell your finger?
No, I was imitating Roger Ebert.
Oh, I didn't get that right now. I'm just a little late on now. Sorry, man. I got hot. Okay, I lost a little, but I got a little.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, we need to maintain, man. Producer Mike, bring some ice up in here, man. We hot. Damn.
Man, you just got real, you got real beige American. What, do you want to put some ice on you?
No, you know what I got? I got real Broke Dick Willie up in here. No, not Broke Dick. What's his name?
Sweet Dick Willie.
Sweet Dick Willie, my bad. I got real Sweet Dick Willie in here. Like, I got real aggressive. Like, you know, you got to start unbuttoning shirts. Because like I said in the first segment, man, we those dudes in the corner, we giving y'all that atypical view. It might be a little slighted because we are slightly fatigued by the heat.
I'm excited, man. I'm going to California on Saturday.
I'm excited. Well, I'm moving in the hottest day of the year.
Dude, Friday could be the hottest day of the year, huh?
Yeah.
Still old July 4th weekend, huh?
It might be the hottest day in the world. Dude.
Who's... Okay, go ahead.
Dude, July 4th, have you bought fireworks just because they're on every corner? It's like a freaking setup.
What happened?
What happened? What?
When did this happen?
Because we let off fireworks for...
No, but when did this happen? Like,
it happened the last election, so they were available for New Year's.
Okay.
And I popped off some of New Year's.
Okay.
And the police drove by, and I was like, oh, shoot, I don't know if this is legal. So I did a little key search. And my little legal team, we looked into it. That you can't even pop off these fireworks in the city limits unless you're in Glendale, but you can sell and buy them.
What?
It's a setup. It's like crack pipes at a store.
So you can't set them off, but you can buy them.
Yeah, you can hear drug paraphernalia.
So what do you do with it? You're just supposed to just hold on to
them? I guess you go out to...
Where firecracker necklaces?
I don't know. You go out to the forest where it's burning down and light them off there.
You get your Super 8 on like that little kid?
You seen that movie?
Yeah, I saw it this weekend. I saw it yesterday, Sunday.
How'd you like it?
Not really.
I hyped
but here's
it up.
The deal. I wasn't a big not the gap it because I wasn't a big Goonies fan. So like that because here's the deal. I judged it based upon being interested as far as think it was funny. I didn't really laugh, you know. I mean, it was. I mean, I understand how people would think it's funny. It's cool, but it didn't do anything for me.
It was damn, I don't even know how to say this. Very masculine. It was cute.
Was it a feel-good movie?
It was a feel-good movie.
You know, cute would be the best way to describe it, though.
You know what I do? I'm going to bring this back, dude. Speaking about cinema, man, we bring in these birthdays often and frequently at any time. There's no rhyme or reason because you know what? Ain't shit else to talk about in the sports world. Speaking of summer feel-good movies and Goonies, happy birthday to John. C-U-S-A-C-K. C-U-S-A-C-K. John Cusack.
He's nuts.
Cusack, happy birthday to you. Better Off Dead.
Give me my dollar.
The Sure Thing. One Crazy Summer. Say Anything.
Yeah.
He was a summertime classic guy. 16 Candles. Happy birthday to my homeboy. You remind me of summertime, and it's hot as hell right now, so we giving you your props. Matter of fact, I think he deserves a Hollywood star because of his 80s stamp in summer movies.
I totally agree with you. I'm a big fan of all the John Cusack movies.
How old is he? 45. You know he grew up with Ari, too.
Did he really?
Yeah. If you remember Ari, well, I don't know if you remember, but yeah. I think I read somewhere where Ari, I don't even know his real name, forgive me, the actor who plays Ari. Jeremy Piven grew up with John Cusack in Chicago back in the 60s and 70s. They went to like theater school together. But I think Jeremy Piven was in a lot of those movies in the 80s and 90s with John Cusack.
He was. I mean, I'm a big fan of those 80s movies, man.
Yeah, I am too. Except Goonies, right?
Except Goonies,
and
man.
E.T.
E.T. is alright.
Stand By Me.
Yes.
You like that one,
yeah,
huh?
I like Stand By Me.
Yeah, let's go see a black body.
Let's go see an African American body.
Let's go see a Crip in a blood fight.
Stand By Me. I love that movie.
How'd you like? Did you listen? Have a chance to listen to Trevor and White Rob?
Yeah. You know, here's the deal. Those guys
were you offended?
They're pretty aggressive, and some of the things I took a lot of flack. You know, people were texting me like, "You're gonna let people talk white dudes talk to you like that?" But you know what, dude? I'm comfortable in who I'm self as a as a dark skinned mocha chocolate American.
Yeah.
That I don't need to have any validation from Trevor and Rob.
Yeah. Well, one thing that ties us together is these 80s movies.
Right.
Like, I know we all like John Cusack. We all like The Cure.
Exactly.
Oh, we don't like The Cure that much.
I do like The Cure, Close to You.
So we like the 80s. That's our bond.
The 80s, man. That's where we grow up. So, I mean, what else are we going to like? What else am I going to like?
I don't know. And I've been thinking about this, man. And I think hopefully this will carry us through the show, like this topic about the 80s. Like the differences between the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s is a lot of things. And I'll bring that up later. But one thing that I don't want to forget about that happened in the 80s and actually is resulting us today is a RIP day, Lorenzo Charles. RIP Lorenzo Charles. Man. Because that happened in 1983. And to me, that was the last footage of an NCAA game that had that grainy look. Yeah. Didn't that game look like it happened in the 60s or in the 70s?
70, late
like,
70s.
I swear, Georgetown won the year after, I think.
In 84. No, 83 was that.
Yeah, because 83. Houston lost twice in a row.
Right.
Like, when Georgetown won in 84, didn't it look clearer?
Well, what I remember is that's maybe it looked clearer for me because I think Derek Wittenberg, that shot that he shot with Lorenzo Charles when he alley-ooped it, that was awakening for me.
Awakening, what you mean?
The awakening of sports world for me.
Okay.
Like, because I was 11 years old and I was like, wow, it was so big. So it was like, that was the awakening. So when I do look at stuff after that, it's like, oh man, that was more clear. So I really can't validate whether it was grainy or not. I just know that championship was the first time I really started paying attention to March Madness.
I agree. Let me think. I think my first sniff was my older cousins talking about Jordan and the Jordan and the James Worthy game and the Sleepy Floyd game when Sleepy Floyd threw it to Worthy. I don't remember being up on it, like all the way on it, but I remember hearing people talk about it.
I remember watching that game.
I remember watching it too, but I don't remember like me caring, but I remember the aftermath of it, and I was like, damn, I need to start caring about this.
I remember the next year, all of a sudden watching this dude Jordan from that jumper, and all of a sudden, dude, he just balled. I remember watching him like, that dude was exciting.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He was just so black and
what's almost his color?
Tar Heel American.
Oh, Tar Heel American.
He was more Tar American.
Yeah, he was more Tar
Neck. Dude, he was
black. Yes.
He got lighter as his years went on.
Well, I think in image wise.
It's exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's how you do it.
Isn't it amazing?
Let's be honest, we all like to look our best no matter where we're at. At 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, they take that seriously. 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, specializing in all hair textures and skin tones, available on location for weddings, runway, and print, commercial projects, or just because. Join the multitudes of people who have gone to 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry, like Muhammad Ali, Cedric the Entertainer, Tommy Davidson, Busy Bone, DMX, Young MC, and even CC Peniston. That's 2x2 Hair and Makeup Artistry. Contact Lori Gregory at 623-521-5934, where you can get the makeover of your dreams. That's 623-521-5934.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson ain't shit. I remember when he mugged that woman right there on Lexington. Remember that shit.
And you were going to tell him that?
I'll tell him that. I ain't for Mike Tyson.
To his face.
That's you goddamn
Mike
right.
Mike Tyson, I'm knocking
him out. Goddamn Mike Tyson.
Shit, you're talking that shit
I'll
now.
I'll drop him like a bad habit.
Hey, Mel, you hear that?
Yeah,
boy.
If Mike Tyson dream about whooping my ass, he better wake up and apologize. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show with your host, Robin Key. The Atypical Sports Show today is taking the chill back, sit on the stoop approach at the sports world. And basically, as I'm flipping through my sports dial, I'm looking at things like two black American women who lost in a tennis tournament.
Aye, aye, aye.
And it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Just because there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
The other thing I look at is the NFL, and all of a sudden, Donovan McNabb he talking a little bit now?
Are you that dude now?
Yeah, exactly. That's what kind of threw me off because, you know, we all know about character. And we all know that when people step out of character, there's usually two reasons. A, they really are motivated. B, they really have lost confidence. So it's really up to Donovan to decide how this goes. But I have to look at it when a brother like that at that age talks about he's got something to prove, which means he might be realizing that his skills are deteriorating faster than we think. And I'm selling Donovan McNabb's stat. Just because he's not been the known dude to talk shit.
Dude, you stutter. You don't even believe yourself right now.
No.
Like, you stutter. Is it heat exhaustion? Or is it like you're not confident with what you're saying?
Heat exhaustion.
Okay. Man, so I think you might be saying this because of heat exhaustion. Because you want to support McNabb.
No, I can't.
But you're going to wake up tomorrow like, what was I doing? Did I drink some tequila?
I can't support him.
Did I drink some tequila? I'm so drunk right now. I like literally heat drunk right now, Rob.
No, that's Mexican. Okay, but I don't know, man. I'm just looking at it like D. McNabb don't talk shit, and all of a sudden he's talking shit. It's not good, dude.
Yeah.
And now since I'm really confident about the NFL, I really think that it's going to be NFL season. I'm not sweating it, dude.
You crazy as hell.
I'm not sweating it, man.
You know, I know it ain't going to work because me and my wife can talk about blinds that need to go into a living room, and there's two people and there's only two choices, and you have to discuss and you negotiate things. And we talk about the blinds, then sometimes that ties into how the floor is different and then who made that decision. Where what I'm trying to say is negotiating with two people is hard enough. We're negotiating amongst two sides, players and owners, but within the owners, they are doing some bickering as well. Like, I think it would be easy if we had two strong fronts and two strong leaders. Each side really doesn't have a leader. Within the camps, they're arguing. And then when they start discussing things amongst the players and the owners, they're probably arguing or talking about shit that don't even matter. And that's how I feel when I'm trying to pick out blinds. When you get to a point where we want to get this blinds or that blinds, you start talking about other stuff and you never get to what the solution is.
Right. I guess the X factor is if it would be easier for you guys to come to a decision if there was a couple million dollars at hand. You guys would work it out and negotiate. So the only
guess what? That makes it harder.
But you know what? In the aspect of the way I look at it, it could make it easier because, A, there's more money lose and there's more is a gain long term. So they realize they're in a situation. I mean, bottom line, they know better than we know about the numbers. They're making good money right now.
Yeah.
So it's going to make them go to the table a little quiet. It's not like they're losing. It's going to force each side to negotiate because there's just too much money involved.
Let me ask you this question, Moneybags. How many teams are in the NFL?
32.
Okay, how many different opinions do you think are coming out of that owner camp?
Probably 32, but here's the deal.
Okay.
You got 20. You only need 24. You don't need them all.
Okay, well, okay. Even though you think you can unify 24 owners?
Here's the deal. So that what happens when they're doing negotiations, there might be 10 owners who feel a certain way, 8 owners say, I'm not going to do it. But then there's always an owner friend within there who say, listen, this is what his needs are. These dudes know each other, what their concerns are financially. I'm just saying that they will get it done. They're in the catbird seat right now. They're going to negotiate. They're going to be getting it done. And there's just too much money to lose, man.
We're not going to take it.
Who sings that song?
No. Twisted Sister.
80s?
More specifically, it's that guy, D. Snyder. Yeah, it's the 80s, dude. But, I mean, you know, hey, I like your optimism.
Yeah, you know, you got to respect the optimism. I mean, I'm just trying to come with you because, listen, if we don't have football, I'm quitting August 31st.
Quitting what?
The Atypical Sports Show.
Yes!
I've already talked to Rob, and Rob said he'd be willing to replace me.
White Rob. Dude, me and White Rob would be cool, man.
Probably.
I think you and Clever Trevor would get together as far as being more collaborative or cohesive than me and White Rob.
I think me and Clever Trevor would probably argue a lot more. Clever Trevor's a little aggressive.
Yeah.
So you and White Rob.
He is angry.
Yeah, he is. You and White Rob, he's more like laid back. I think you and White Rob would get along.
Well, I think White Rob's a liar, though.
Well, you know what? But that's okay.
It's okay. You know what, though? That was the 80s, and I do want to get this stoop. This hot-ass summer day stoop and kind of progress from the 80s to the 90s because I do have a very happy birthday for to Gina Arnold.
This your birthday, then happy Damn. Birthday. Cause this my birthday.
Tamra Gina.
Cause this my birthday.
Tamra Gina or Shanae.
I think Pam. Every day of the week.
I like Pam, and she's funny, dude. Did I tell you I bought the bootleg? Can I say that on low air?
Bootleg what?
A bootleg DVD, seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Martin.
Really?
Guess how much?
How much?
$12.
I don't understand how you get bootleg CDs of
DVDs,
Martin.
I said.
Oh, DVDs.
Yeah.
In the barbershop?
No, I got a connection. I can't even share it on the air, man. I might get decapitated.
Really? And so, have you watched any of them?
Dude, me and my sister-in-law and my wife, my sister-in-law, that's funny when you say sister-in-law and she's 16.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
But it's funny watching it with her because, I mean, these shows came out 92, 93.
Right.
And she wasn't even born.
Not at all.
She wasn't even born. So she was like, oh my God, those colors are so weird, you know?
Yeah.
So we sitting there watching, we're playing cards, and it's perfect for a situation where you just have it on,
right,
playing cards.
Okay.
You don't have to watch it, but you can just, like, that's a perfect show, especially like us, because we grew up on it. Well, right. We didn't grow up on it. We were already old enough when it came on.
Yes,
so
classic.
We was up on it, and it's classic. And when you got it on, like, oh man, dude, oh, he about to be oldest right now. You know what I'm saying? So you watching it. Oh shoot, bro, man. So you just watch scenes. Like, you don't really have to follow the plot.
No, because he's so good at characters. That's probably my favorite sitcom of all time.
Because you know what it was?
It's so
they had
funny,
four
dude.
Strong years. That fifth year was weird. And I didn't even get the fifth season because it would have depressed me.
Right.
Because you can actually feel and see the tension and drama with Gina and Martin.
Yeah, you can.
Like, she left the season in the middle of the season.
Right.
They start writing and stuff. Martin wasn't even doing his characters anymore.
Right.
It was some weird ass shit.
It was
that
weird
fifth
ass
season.
Shit. Hey, and I tell you, man, the first 4 years of that show was class. I mean, I watched every episode
twice.
And he was just funny to me, man.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big things. Hey, you know, Mike Epps is coming this weekend.
Where at?
Celebrity.
You going?
I'm being Cali.
That was a test. I was testing you, bro.
What up?
Because remember last week when you said, yo, when you moving? I said, this weekend. You said, I'm going to Cali.
So
I was like, yeah, I'm going. I was about, dude, I swear, man. I was about to just throw this. Yeah, you know, because, like, I got that, like, my I look like Twix or maybe like Kit Kats. Like,
yeah,
I got the Kit Kat color. Kit Kat America. I was just blah, 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 blah. Is that my wallet?
Mike, you know, of course, leaving.
Oh, just leave it, yeah.
Yeah, just leave it around.
And Mike, his MasterCard number is 5143176474. Oh, I'm tripping.
Yeah, you are tripping.
You think I'd really read it on air?
No, I didn't think you would.
Okay.
I knew you had
I read the first 12 numbers verbatim.
You paint your house. What?
I read the first 12 numbers verbatim.
Man, you know Rodman's fine writing that down so bad right now.
Well, yeah, probably so. Yeah. 480-664-9378. We went through the birthdays pretty early, but I got some more to go. But guess what? I will need to hear, man. I need to hear them.
No, you don't get to announce my horns, dog.
They're not your horns. They're our horns.
No,
so
they're
we
not.
Can,
I don't ever. Do I ever say, hey, go hit up them birthdays?
If you had a birthday to give, I wouldn't.
No, trip. No. But I don't say hit up your birthday. It's not time to do the where the day yet, Keith.
Why are you power tripping, man? I know it's hot and shit, and like
man,
black people,
man,
like you
dude,
think you a
hot,
field dude.
Why do you think
I'm a house nigga, man? I can't handle this heat,
man. Let me tell you something, man. Shit gets a little drastic right now when it's hot. A little more aggression in the voice. I'm hot.
A little
dude.
More bass. A little more bass.
A little more bass.
Moving it,
dog.
Yeah.
A little
moving
more bass.
It, yeah.
Mike, give me them horns.
Oh, man,
what word?
Word
like,
of the day.
Days like this, I wish that it
rain
was putting raindrops was falling for real because it's hot as hell.
Dude, that's one of the best jams right there. Five Heartbeats,
you
right?
See them on BET last night? I thought it was so real to me. You didn't see them?
I didn't see them, dude.
Dude, they came out with After 7. It's like, and introducing Five Heartbeats, man, and they had all of them. They had Leon. They had your boy Robert Townsend Jr., who is one of the weirdest dudes in the history
dude,
of cinema game.
So confusing.
Is he a genius or not? I don't know.
Dude, I think
I can't take his genius away.
He's
I can't.
He's a Rain Man, but he's a genius. Like,
and
something
stupid.
Wrong with him.
Yeah, I don't. He just fell off, or he actually had like somebody else writing it, and then he like got too big and he like threw that dude to the side. Because Five Heartbeats and Hollywood Shuffle was classic,
dude. Classic.
But his other shit's like, dude, have you ever made a movie before in your life?
Yeah,
Meteor
dude.
Man. Come on, son.
What was it?
Meteor Man.
Oh, Meteor Man. Yeah, what was going on with that, man?
I don't know. That's your boy.
That's the industry, man. I blame it on industry. I blame that on Anglo-Americans.
But back to my boy. Did you say, dude, don't talk about Jewish people, dude.
I don't never say nothing about Jewish people. Okay. I know they shut us down right now.
Real quick.
Hello?
This thing on? Hello? Oh, I think we got shut off, dude, for real.
No, why am I hearing racial epithets in my earphones?
Dude, we got shut off for real, dude. Damn. I don't... Hello?
Hello?
Yo. Dude, this is... I don't know if we can shut off now. I think we should just keep doing the show.
What? I think we shouldn't mention Robert Townsend. I think that's an automatically take you off the air shit.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So never mention Robert Townsend. That's a bugaboo. That's what you can't say shit or none of those other words.
Yeah.
And Robert Townsend.
Robert Townsend, yeah.
He could ruin a career. How does nigga ruin my career and he ain't even here?
He got a call back. I got a call back.
Can't stand it. I know you can't stand it. You can't stand it, I know you can't stand it. You can't stand it, I know you can't stand it. You can't stand it, I know you can't stand it. You can't stand the heat. You can't stand the heat. Just be cool, stop acting like a fool, 'cause I know it is the weather. Screwing up your mind, but we must stick together. No work for you for miles around. The family's on the verge of breaking down. The rent is due, the landlord making threats. The pressure building up to make you sweat. I know you can't stand it. You can't stand it. I know you can't stand it. You can't stand it. I know you can't stand it.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Hey, yo, man, this is your boy Key coming through intermission style. And you know what? It's time for that. What would you do? Hey, man, what would you do if you was a black girl in Compton going over to England for the first time with your loud-ass daddy with his ghetto ashy-ass knees telling you, hit that ball harder, girl?
Man, what would you do if she's over in Compton? You all of a sudden you took a flight over to England and you over there outside eating at KFC and everybody looking at you like, I know there was a reason why they eating that.
I don't know, what would you do when the only hot sauce they had over in England was ketchup and you need a little bit more hot sauce, so you went over to the Indian Mart and you put a little more cayenne pepper and you mixed it in hot sauce and then you went up there and you balled and you jumped over the net and you did a little smurf.
What would you do is your girlfriend was on NBA Basketball Wives and you was hollering at her in front of everybody and then you realized everybody knew you was a punk because she a hoe.
And what would you do if you sitting around there and you cried on TV and you called Jeff Garcia all kind of gay people, but then you walking around and you broke your ACL all off in the middle of the season and you think you're on a reality show and then your career ended?
Man, what would you do if you wake up in the morning and you realize my name is Rory McIlroy and I can win a gang of tournaments, so I still can't pull no bitches?
Man, I don't know, man. What would you do if you was Robert Key, you was up in this show, and you was calling each other black African American nigga, black American nigga? What would you do?
Hey, welcome back.
Class Atypical Sports, man. We stupid.
No.
4-8-0-6-6-4-9-3-7-8.
Why are you saying this? We're off the air, dude. Just be as ratchet as possible.
Dude, nope. I'm
dude,
trying to beat.
The Jews shut us down. Professor Griff is in the studio. The Jews shut us down, dog.
Man, okay, right now. The Jews didn't shut us down.
Are you separating yourself from me right now?
I'm separating myself from you, and also I'm going to just go do this interview. We got Professor Griff and Mel Gibson in the studio right now. They're fighting over time right now.
But the mediator is...
And Farrakhan. And Farrakhan's mediating.
Yeah.
Do you think Farrakhan hates Jews?
I don't want to go here, dude.
Why not? Oh, nigga, see, that's what kills me. You bring up shit and talk about Jews, and I go there whenever you want to go there, and all of a sudden you trying to turn into Pope Lightskin John II.
No, well, okay, okay. Not okay. Every time I say I don't want to go in there, I don't know the answer at all.
Do you? Okay, all right. Okay. In your opinion, would you say that he hates Jews?
No.
Would you say Al Sharpton hates Jews?
Okay, maybe I have an opinion, and I don't want to say the opinion because...
Would you say Al Sharpton hates Jews?
I'll tell you one thing. I feel more nervous about dropping dimes on Muslims in the Nation of Islam than the Jews. So I didn't want to, like,
okay.
I
was, all right. Like, okay, what about Jesse Jackson? Does Jesse Jackson hate Jews?
No, he hates the nuts on Obama, though.
Dude, does Mel Gibson really hate Jews?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm gonna ask you.
You know what's funny? I thought Mel Gibson was Jewish. That's what killed me. The whole when he started going around, I'm like, why would he go off on people that are his? And I didn't realize he wasn't Jewish. He looks real Jewish to me.
Do you remember that part when Axl Rose said, "Police and slashes, stay out of my way. Police and niggas." Axl Rose.
Yeah. Did he sing that in who are the most famous people to drop the N word and still be okay?
Besides? Great question.
Michael Richards.
Ronald Reagan.
He dropped the nigger word?
Yeah, you know he said it.
What did he say?
Oh, he said, give me those. He said, Ronald, what's your favorite kind of jelly bean? Well, let me tell you.
That was Lyndon B. Johnson, nigga.
No, listen, he said, what's your favorite kind of jelly bean, Ronald? Well, this is off the record. I like those little black nigger ones. Those black ones got that licorice flavor.
Did he really say that?
Oh, no,
man, that's reckless right there.
Oh, we gonna get shut down by the Jews and by Muslims,
and you know what? Seriously,
and half America.
Dude, let me tell you something. That's one person you'd rather talk about Jewish people than talk about Ronald Reagan and people. Boy, they love that fool, don't they? Yeah. Why is Ronald Reagan so well loved?
I tell you one thing: the next person to be put on a currency is gonna be Ronald Reagan.
I think so too.
But it's
gonna be on the dinar though, because it's gonna be on the Iraqi currency.
I'm making Ronald Reagan money.
We love Roll Call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Markie, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show. Man, this is a show that's so fun.
So reckless.
But it's so hot. Can you read temperature, Rob? What did it say?
It says 100. And, oh, okay. Inside the studio, 89.
Yeah.
Outside, 91.
Well, actually, it says it's 4080-664-9378. 480-664-9378 is the temperature. Call it up. Go into that temperature. Drop us an A-tip. My name is Kimani Holmes, and we're not done because I know we've run to the 80s and we talked about the era where me, you, White Rob, Trevor can like combine. But guess what? We talked about the 90s where we tiptoed into Tichina Arnold. We tipped into Martin.
Love
and this is where the black people, realistically, this is what people ain't talking about, Rob. The 90s was our era.
Oh, it was us,
like,
dude.
Dude, it was Martin.
Right.
It was Living Single.
Right.
It was New
Living
York
Color.
A Living Color,
New York Undercover,
Michael Jordan.
Right.
I mean, it was like off the chain as far as what we were able to do. And I think with all that power, we got crazy with it and we start putting cornrows in our head and tattoos. And I'm not saying that's bad.
I think
we kind of went crazy with it. And the late 90s and early 2000s, it was like nosedive.
What happened? What is the deal? When I was watching these BET Awards, these rappers, man, I'm so past it, dog. Dudes with tattoos covering their whole body all the way up to their neck.
You're old, and that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to make you not like what they do. That's what the youth does.
They're doing great.
What?
They're doing great. They've really succeeded at their job, because I honestly don't like any of them fools. But the thing about it is, I'll bump their music all day. I feel like I'm still connected as far as music. I just love music so much, so I'll bump their beats. But they're just different to me, man. I just can't.
They're not doing their job, then. If you like anything about them, they're not doing their job. And that's what I disrespect about today's youth.
Did he say today's Jew?
Dude, stop it, man.
No, did you say that?
No, I said youth, bro.
Oh, I thought you said today's youth.
You really trying to give me lynch.
No, you said slur.
You trying to put me in a gas chamber.
Listen, you slurred because you're tired and you're hot. So you said, let me tell you about today's youth.
Well, today's youth. Okay. What I'm going to tell you about today's youth is they're still using something that our generation invented, hip-hop, as a form. So that's why you still like it.
Right.
Like, they need to adapt something like something I can't even understand.
Right. But they can't, because hip hop is so ingrained right now. So everything's sprouting from that. So basically, I'll probably be 80 years old and have some kind of form of music that started and grounded in hip hop that I might like the beat.
That's because, depressing.
But it's not bad, though, because here's the old deal. What would you rather have? Would you rather have a TV or music? You'd rather have music. So I'd F a show. If in 30 years I could still enjoy some type of music and enjoy it, I like it.
You know what I like?
Me?
I like the 90s. Yeah, you cool. You cool for African-American Nestle Crunch brother. But I like the 90s, dude, because not only did the 90s bring us the greats of Martin and the television plateau that it brought us, but it also brought us, obviously, Tupac and Biggie and the golden age of rap, which people don't even argue about it. That's the best age of rap. But it also brought us Mike Tyson's rise and fall. And when we used to actually care about boxing for the last time. Because today, June 28th, is the 14th anniversary of Tyson versus Holyfield. Happened in 1997. The ear bite incident. Rob, I'm very curious. Where were you at when you seen it? That's like one of those moments when people could ask you, do you remember where you were at when Tyson bit that fool's ear off?
No, I was watching the fight, though. But I don't know whose house I was watching it at.
97, you might have been in Illinois.
I
know your life better than you.
You do. I was in Illinois, and I'm not sure. I was watching over probably some Tramp South.
What you call me?
That's why your lady is a tramp. So I was watching. I remember watching, but I remember I was staring at it, and I couldn't believe it. It was weird. It was like that man really bit his ear off, and I just remember Holyfield jumping up and down.
Dude, it was a weird jump up and down. It was like he was a cartoon.
He was like angry and hurt.
It was something like that would be on Tom and Jerry. Like a cartoon character would jump in and like a bulldog.
That gives me chills right now, dog. He bit his ear off.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, 90s was like that right there. 97, when that happened, was the beginning of the end of black not dominance, but the black presence in America hit its apex then, because Jordan was still balling. Tyson and Holyfield meant something.
Tiger just came around.
Tiger
97.
First coming around. And I'm glad you brought that around, because this is the reason why I brought this all into the play. Because at that time, Serena and Venus actually also were introduced into the world.
Yeah.
And my whole point was, I wanted to end and nosedive this show into like the decline. And we're at that decline now in this late year, because the power isn't there anymore. Like, even when you see these lockouts, the power of the athlete isn't there. They're locking the player out. The player doesn't have the power. And like you said, Rob, with your solution about the NFL lockout, it still has to do with the owners and what they're going to do. Like, the power of the player is regulated to being on a reality show. Are being outlandish and making yourself into a caricature of yourself instead of just balling like we used to do in the 90s. And that was the whole underlining platform of what I wanted this show to become. Because if Sweet Dick Willie, that Jamaican dude, and that other dude from True Colors was watching this dude right now, R.I.P. Robin Harris, but if they was watching this right now, I mean, they'd probably be like, you niggas make me sick. Always talking about what you remember that brother Jamaican said? Always talking about what kind of car you drive.
Right, right.
Like, that's the whole point I was trying to make about this whole elevation and decline. It's like an airplane trip. When you go off on that plane, and then when that captain says, you're flying at a comfortable 20,000 miles over, blah, blah, blah. And then you know what 1997 was with this ear biting thing is? Prepare for arrival.
I get you. I mean, those are very valid points, nor am I going to disagree with them. I'm just going to add some points by saying, in my opinion, it all comes in cycles. Michael Jordan, the individuality of African Americans started in the 90s, like really blossomed in the 90s, yeah. Coupled with the internet, coupled with yep. the television age. So then it got real big. So then everything went from team to being more individual. So Jordan took a hold of that. Barkley took a hold of that with individual. Now, the individual thing is not there because the money's not necessarily there in the leagues. So it's forcing players to go out and do reality shows to make money because the endorsements and all that money is not there like it used to be. So now the owners have the strength, but now it's going to turn into something where cycle in 20 years, it'll be back to the players having the leverage because Jordan was the one who brought, I mean, Jordan essentially, I've read articles, Jordan essentially ruined sports and he helped sports because he made the one person, the individual, so marketable. Now all of these people are going after that individual marketing. So it's making them really look at themselves first rather than the team. So Jordan ushered that era in. And it's not like it's a bad thing, but it's just the way the cycle is now. So now the owners are trying to reel back in because they realize these guys are individuals. We've been paying them more than we can pay them now. And so now we need to reel this back in because we don't want this to keep escalating. We want it to at least level out and be able to be fair for long term. So in a way, I look at it like, yeah, individuals are still getting paid, which I like that they're doing because actually it helps us now more because we get to know these players more than we did before because they have to do stuff like reality shows. So we're getting to know them, so which helps their brand even more so they end up making more money. But the whole thing with the owners having the leverage and them being the powerful ones, I think in this instance, I understand it, and I'm actually siding with the owners when it comes to NBA. Maybe not NFL, but NBA, I'm siding with the owners because I know that they're paying too much for what these players and what they're bringing in.
Very interesting insight. It's that a typical view that we give you guys. I appreciate the way you put that exclamation point on the point, Rob.
You're welcome.
But it's ironic, isn't it, that
she had the Boone, you had the Chronic, and the Lakers beat the Supersonics.
Very ironic that that happened. And it's also ironic that in the 90s, we also had the explosion of West Coast rap, Ice Cube. I mean, there were so many, P. Diddy.
Yeah, the group.
All those eras. Even the Bling Bling, Lil Wayne.
Well, think about the group. So it's the same thing in sports. The groups, the guys who broke off in the groups. Cube broke off in the group.
Very ironic that that was the era that actually created the platform that enabled us to have a black president in 2008.
Yep.
Very ironic that that happened. And right now, I'm not trying to do a cross-reference exchange rate as far as what black dollar was the strongest or what black existence was stronger between the 90s black person and the 2000s black person, but obviously we got a black president now,
right?
Oh, and who's a friend of the show, you know,
right?
And like Obama comes on the show and he has right. the ability to be himself on this show,
right?
I mean, I don't know if he's busy right now, if he wants to weigh in on this.
I don't know, man. I mean, you got his number, nigga, call him.
He might be okay. Hold on. Security code. God's must be crazy. Yo, this is Key. I want to talk to Barry O. Colbert. Yeah, yeah. Come on. I think we're getting through. We good. We good. We good. Prez, is you? You're on A-Tip line.
Keep some water, Michelle.
Awesome, dude. He actually responds.
Hello.
Like that white.
Hello.
Hey, President Obama. This is Key, man. How you been?
Key.
Been a long time.
Key. Long time talking to you, Key.
I didn't want to alarm
you.
I didn't want to alarm you. I know you told me to use this phone only in emergencies, but you know what?
Yes.
Sometimes I think you want us to call just so you have an excuse to get up and hang out with your boy.
Well, Key, I have to be honest with you. I feel that this is probably an inappropriate time for you to call unless there's something you really need to discuss with me. Well, hold on. Let me just. I'm just going to have to step out, have a cigarette real quick. What are you talking? All right, go ahead.
First question: when you saw that phone ring, did you think it was something else?
Nigga, I gave you the throwaway. Come on now, I'm the president, man. I gave you the throwaway, bro.
Okay. Well, me and Rob was talking.
Where is Rob right now?
You know Rob reminds me of. You ever watch Coming to America, President?
Man, don't you think you don't think I've heard in Congress the Princess of Munda jokes, man? They still ain't seen my birth certificate.
Well, you remember the part when they were at the Knicks game and that brother was right. in the bathroom?
Exactly.
Rob is like that where he's so dumbfounded, speechless.
Oh, I understand.
He's like, oh, okay. You're the best thing that ever happened to my life.
Yeah, I get it all the time. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, okay,
so
I
mean, Rob is sitting here and he this is like one of the few moments that he can't really.
Well, first of all, I just want to give a shout out to Robert for me, please.
No problem, man.
Okay, thanks a lot,
really appreciate it. To wrap it up, man, I don't want to take too much time because you were up there next to Michelle, which that's not a bad place to be.
No, man, you ain't lying, bro.
That's not a bad place to be, bro.
I mean, I ain't trying to be rude. This is atypical, but you already know the deal.
Yeah, but you know, we were talking about the '90s, and I know you was doing your thing in Chicago when the '90s Black Explosion blew up, and it actually enabled you. Are enabled us to be acceptable to America where you were able to become president in 2008. So what I was trying to ask is, I know with the Michael Jordan and everything that was positive and all the power that the Black people accumulated in the 90s, and it just accumulated and avalanched up to 2008. Is there anything that you have to say about the existence of, I don't know, African Americans or do we call them Black Americans, or are you Kenyan American? I don't even know what the term is, but is there anything that you want to say about the evolution of Black Americans in the 90s to the 2000s?
Oh, first of all, you touched on some important points about my presidency and being the first African American to reach the office. I would say there's two people that were influential in me becoming president, and I think you'll understand when I speak. The first person is Mr. T. And the reason why I say Mr. T is because he was the first scary-looking African-American who was on television and with a mohawk, with gold chains, and white America, a.k.a. George Peppard, accepted him.
Okay.
And when Mr. T stepped on in the place, the whole place shook. Everybody, as you guys would say on the A-Tip show, he shut it down. The other person I would say who changed the game was Blondie.
Excuse me?
Blondie. She was probably one of the first the white women who endorsed Black music from hip hop. I mean, to be honest with you, she was the first person I was thinking, man. When I was over, okay, so let me say, when I was at a tribe in Africa, we were sitting over chilling.
So, hey, Prez.
What?
I don't know about that whole
thing,
you might not want to go.
Oh, okay, there. Okay. So
when you're in Hawaii,
my fault. Yeah. When I was on the island of Hawaii,
yeah,
and we were watching some videos, and I remember just leaving college, and then Blondie, they played that song, and I'm like, first thing I said to my brothers was, "She like niggas," and so then I think that changed the game, and I ushered in that new era where it was acceptable to me. And then hip hop took it to another level in the 90s with Jordan, and all of a sudden you look up in 2008 and I'm your president. And Keith, I'm sorry to be rude, but cigarette's gone, I gotta go.
Appreciate it, man. Your pleasure. Hey, Rob, man, build up some nerve. President's online, man, real quick, dude.
Hey, what's up, Prez? Obama? Obama?
He just hung up.
Did he hang up?
Why you freeze up, dog?
Man, because, I mean, I just respect him so much, man.
Yeah. I don't, it's so weird, man. Like, you are so comfortable around people more than I am, and I have the ability to talk to, like, President Obama, like,
right.
You know, monthly basis. And that's, I don't know if it's like a mutual thing where he's cool talking to me.
Well, you guys are both from Chicago. You're both
Hawaii.
You're both vanilla wafer Americans. You're both pygmy vanilla wafer Americans.
You got pygmy pigments.
Y'all got pigments. So y'all pygmy cousins. Y'all play cousins. Y'all playmate cousins.
You know what, dude? I do want to.
Y'all primate cousins.
Call Jimmy the Greek. Shut up.
480-664-9378.
This is a typical sports show. But before we go, man, bring those horns back again because I feel like we wasted them because Rob never tasted them. Replacing them. Tasting them. Give me the
word of the day today is erroneous. Spell that.
E-R-R-O-N-E-O-U-S.
Ooh, what's the definition of erroneous?
Erroneous is error in ways.
False. Wrong. Error in ways is a synonym, I'd have to say.
Dude, that's...
We ended that on a good note.
Yeah, well, because
I was positive.
Wrong.
No, because you were right. You got it right.
Oh, but I got the definition wrong.
You got the spelling right, nigga, and the definition right.
You know, I kind of feel bad that I woke the president up. What time is it over there in D.C.?
Oh, dude, it's like, what time is it? It's like 11:30 in there. No, it's 12:30, nigga.
Yeah. But he probably wanted to get that square anyway, get an excuse.
You know what I'm saying? Get out
do
of bed.
Do you think he went back and he lied and said that it was...
Oh, no, she can smell it right when he walk in there. Don't even try it. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, Michelle.
Yeah, sorry. 480-664-9378. Be sure to treat us with your words and your wisdom and your knowledge and your voice on that atypical sports show line. Because, hey, your voice is better than my voice. If I had a voice, man, I think I'd be on a TV show, dude, like SportsCenter. Like my voice is so way.
Like Family Guy.
Yeah.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you can find the abstract. Listening to hip hop, my pops used to say it reminded him of bebop. I said, well, daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way the Bobby Brown is just amping like Michael. It's all expected. Things are for the looking. If you got the money, quest is for the booking. Come on, everybody, let's get with the fly mode. Still got room on the truckload of black gold. Listen to the rhyme to get a mental picture of this black man, black woman picture. Why do I say that? Cause I gotta speak the truth, man. Doing what we feel for the music is the proof. And planet on the ground, the act is so together. Gonna fight strong, you need leverage to sever. The unit, yes, the unit, yes, the unit called the Jazz is delivering each year an LP filled with street goods. You can find it on your rack in your record store. If you get the record, say your thoughts are adored and appreciated. Cause we're ever so glad we made it. We worked hard, so we gotta thank God. Dishing out the plastic, do the dance till you're spastic. If you diss, it gets drastic. Listen to the rhyme, cause it's time to make gravy. If it moves your booty, then shake, shake it, baby. All the way to Africa, aka the motherland. Stick out the left, then I'll ask for the other hand. That's the right hand, black man. Only if you are noted as my man. If I get the credit, then I think I deserve it. If you fake moves, don't fix your mouth to word it. Get in the zone of positivity, not negativity. Cause we gotta strive for longevity. If you buy Chuck, what's in that? What? A pair of Nike size 10 and a half. Come on, yeah, we gotta make moves. Never, ever, ever do the fake moves. We gotta make moves. Never, ever, ever do the fake moves. We gotta make moves. Never, ever, ever do the fake moves. A winner all the time. Can't fall prey to a hip-hop crime. With the dope raps and dope tracks, we move blocks. From the fly girlies to the hardest of the rocks. Musically, the quest is on the rise. We own these excursions, so you must realize that continually, I'll pop my Zulu. If you don't like it, get on the Zulu tip. So what can you do in the times which exist? You can't fake moves on your brother or your sis. But if your sis is a... is a jerk. Leave them both alone and continue with your work. Whatever it may be in today's society, everything is fair, at least that's how it seems to me. You must be honest and true to the next. Don't be phony and expect one not to flex. Especially if you rhyme, you have to live by the pen. Your man is your man, then treat him like your friend. All it is the code of the streets. So listen to the knowledge being dropped over beats. Beats that are hard, beats that are funky. They can get your hook like a crackhead junkie. What you gotta do is know the tribe is in the sphere. The abstract poet prominent like Shakespeare. Never ever, ever got a chance to see.